101.7 The Truth. This your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct at the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. You are officially tapped in. Happy Friday, Milwaukee. Man, listen, it felt like it took forever to get to Friday. It has been a super long week. A lot of things has been happening, both worldly things and spiritually. And we got to talk about it. You know, we have to have a conversation about this. First and foremost, I want to, you know, give my condolences again to Smalls and his family. Tomorrow is the funeral. Both Homer and I will be in attendance. And it's been a very difficult situation. And I just want to send a shout out to my students. Man, and everybody who has been supporting me. But today was an extremely difficult day for me at work. So much to the point where when I walked in the studio, I just started crying. I couldn't even hold it back. And before I had my first class, I had to get myself together. But my students still could tell. And they came and they was like, "Miss Jazz, is you okay?" And I kept saying, "Yeah, I'm good," right? You know, smiling, "Yeah, I'm okay." And one of my students, shout out to Kanye, he said, "No, you're not, Miss Jazz. What's going on?" And I was like, "Someone that's like my brother passed away and his funeral is tomorrow." And the first thing he said was, "And you still showed up for us. Thank you." And that meant so much to me. That changed my entire mood. I also received an email from the school stating that they had interviewed some of the ambassadors, the student ambassadors yesterday, several of them. And my name, along with two other teachers' name, came up multiple times as far as how much we've impacted them. And this was something that they did on their own. So, again, just getting that and the fact that I pour into my students and they pour back into me, you know, it confirms that the work that I'm doing is what I'm supposed to be doing, but also that it's okay for you to be vulnerable, right? It's okay to say that I'm not okay. Sometimes you have to say it in order to hear it so that you can know what it is that you need to do as far as how to deal with it. So again, and big shout out to all of my students. I am going to touch on this briefly as well, because first of all, I want to apologize to anybody that follow me, because yesterday I went off. I went off on live. I did. And I had to, you know, go back and kind of take it down. But the reason why I was so upset was for two reasons. One, I know you guys have been seeing the viral post on Facebook and social media from the parent who was talking about the students that were left outside of Howard Fuller High School for 3 hours, right? And I was upset because I actually was there during this situation and I tried to advocate for them to allow the students back inside of the school. Once I became aware of what was happening, I was heated. I was heated because they was out. They was 1 minute late, 10 minutes late, and a couple of them was 1 minute late. The others were about 10 minutes late. And they were denied entry into the school. And by the time I walked out at 11 o'clock in the morning for my lunch break, they still was outside, which means that they had been outside for 3 hours with no breakfast, with no lunch. And the most intriguing part is that they still stood outside, which means that they actually wanted to be in school. And the way that the situation played out with the parent coming up to the school, raising concerns and so on and so on, know that I did my best to try and prevent this from happening, as well as shout out to Boo Williams. He works over there with me as well. And we literally tried and was denied, right? And the reason being is because, you know, sometimes people just put their authority and power just to prove a point above, you know, the right thing to do. And for me personally, you know, I don't have it in my heart to leave nobody's baby outside for 3 hours, even if they are late to school. I'm just happy that they decide to show up to school, because some of these children, they go through a lot at home, right? And it's very difficult for them to even get up in the morning, let alone some of them have adult responsibilities and still have to show up for school. Some of them don't know how to catch the bus. They don't have money. Some parents can't leave. So for a lot of the people on social media who are making comments saying, hey, I'm glad the school holding the parents accountable for there's children being late and there's no excuse. They should have been on time and all of the rhetoric. I'm pretty sure these are the very people who have no idea of what these students go through, who probably don't work at a school, who probably don't even get up to take their own children to school, let alone being willing to comment on something else. So it was very frustrating for me because I love my students dearly and I always want them to be safe. And again, you know, Bronzeville is a beautiful place, but the reality is those babies were on 4th and North. And there were people, mentally disabled people walking past, homeless people. You know, it just wasn't a safe thing to do. So, again, I want to send a shout out to my Howard Fuller students. And, you know, even if I get chewed out, even if, you know, I go against the grain, whatever the case is, I'm always going to ride for the students. I'm always going to, no matter what. I don't care who feels the way about it. I don't care what the accountability looks like at the end of the day. We should not be leaving anybody's child outside for 3 hours just to try and prove a point when it comes to policy and procedure, right? Especially in today's age. We should not be leaving any students behind because shout out to my friend Katie. I went to middle school with her and she made the comment. She said, especially when it comes to count day. Because when they have to log all of these students and provide that to the state, I guarantee you they won't leave any students outside for 3 hours. You're going to want the students inside so that you can show that you have numbers, right? So again, you know, my call to action specifically with this is if you are an educator, please put your ego, your authority and power and pride to the side when it comes to these babies. Don't spend so much time trying to prove a point that you misguide them by making them feel as if you're going to leave them out, right? In the cold, if they're 1 minute late or if they're 10 minutes late, that's not a good example to set. And as long as I'm, involved with the youth, I'm always going to take a stance and defend them because, again, I know them personally. I know a couple of those students who have to get up every day and take care of their younger siblings, and they still find a way to make it to school. You know, and shout out to the parent that pulled up, too, because I would have pulled up as well. My baby called me, especially after I called. I followed the proper procedure and I called after 8:15 to say that I want my student, my child inside of the school. And I gave you guys an excuse and you still leave them out. I did what you asked and you still lock my child outside. That is a problem. That is a problem. And no parent should have to deal with that, especially the parents who cannot afford to miss work because they have to pay for rent and bills and so on, right? So, again, shout out to all of my students at Howard Fuller. Man, I got y'all back regardless. And, you know, at the end of the day, hopefully, based off of what has happened, they would never, ever leave anybody else's child outside of school. And to all of the educators who are afraid to speak up, shame on you. Shame on you. It's not enough money in the world that can force me to turn my back on someone's child or my students because I'm afraid that I might lose my job or that they might retaliate. No, right is right and wrong is wrong. And as educators, we have to call each other out. And I'm also glad that God uses me the way that he does because when I walked out there, as soon as I walked out, I seen the CEO and the mother pulled up and we were able to somewhat find a resolution to a certain degree. But again, that should have not happened. And, you know, it's shameful. It's very, very shameful. if you are just tuning in today, we have a loaded show. So we have two interviews with my good brother Aziz. We're going to talk about some of the things that we've been doing with the Safe Summer Sites, as well as Marmar. I've watched her grow, right? She's worked with us, me and my brother Von Mays, when it came to Tay Day, the lock-in program, all of the above. And now she is currently doing her own thing in the community. And it's so amazing when you can pass the torch, you can raise the youth up and show them how to be a part of the community. And then they actually take it, what they've learned, and implement it themselves. I'm also going to touch on this criminal complaint that Homer Blow, shout out to Homer, he was talking about earlier with this security guard who was charged with grooming of a child for sexual activity, sexual misconduct by school staff or volunteer, sexual misconduct by school staff or volunteer, count three. Count four is sexual misconduct by school staff or volunteer. So he has four different counts. And there was multiple students that he was reaching out to. And I'm going to share some of my personal experiences as well, because, again, I know that the youth listen to me as well as the parents. And I want to educate you guys on some of the things that you need to pay attention to make sure that it doesn't happen to you as a child, and that the parents, you all don't have to go through this as well. And the staff, some of the signs that you should be paying attention to, because my personal opinion, I don't believe that there weren't any red flags at work. Someone should have noticed the behavior. And I could be wrong, but again, that's just my personal opinion. So we got to go to break. When we come back, we're going to have this conversation. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. Do not touch that dial. 1017 The Truth.
Woo! Y'all ain't know her, right?
Love that on that beat.
Let's go!
1017 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. You are officially tapped in. And listen, man, it's been a long week. Glad that we've been able to make it to Friday. Listen, I can't say I'm looking forward to the weekend due to unforeseen circumstances, but I am glad and thank God that it is Friday. We have two guests coming on today, two people who are prominent inside of the community. And before we get to our guest today, we need to talk about what is happening with our children in our schools, right? So we've spent a lot of time this week discussing what parents should know about what happens inside of a school, right? If you haven't checked that episode out, please go to 1017 The Truth on YouTube and type in Tap In, and you'll be able to see the previous shows of us discussing this. But because we have spent a lot of time discussing that, I'm taking this conversation somewhere much more fundamental. Forget politics for a minute. We're not talking about who's right, who's wrong, left versus right, all of that stuff, right? I'm talking about something that every parent should be able to agree on. When I send my child to school, is my child safe? That's it. That's all, right? There are two situations involving Milwaukee area schools that deserves immediate attention. And obviously, this is something that we've seen multiple times. But if we keep seeing it, that means that not only it's not the parents' fault, it's the educators' fault, right? We need to be paying more attention to what is going on inside of our schools, the red flags when it comes to this type of behavior. One involves, again, a concern surrounding the students reportedly being left out at HFCA, which is actually the school that I work at. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up, because there was a viral post that a parent posted yesterday. There were so many people who were talking about this and didn't really have the correct information. And it became frustrating because they immediately start to blame the parents and the students, not understanding the circumstances surrounding what actually happened. So I just wanted to provide a brief insight to that. And then we're going to talk about the criminal complaint of 27-year-old Antonius J. Party, who worked as a safety worker at Lincoln Center of the Arts Middle School and is facing four felony charges tied to allegations involving three current or former middle school students. We have an interview at 4:30 and 5 o'clock. And once we're done with those interviews, I'm actually going to tell my story, because I am someone who was has dealt with sexual abuse as a child at 9 years old, and also someone who an adult attempted to groom me as a high school student. And I want to talk to my youth, because we have these conversations often as far as, you know, being confident enough to tell somebody when something is wrong. Part of the reason why I love working with youth is because I want to protect them from predators and from people and from the things that I went through as a child. And that's extremely important to me. So we're going to have those conversations as well. But the allegations themselves are extremely serious. I'm not going to say allegations. I know that the complaint says that, but we have proof. So there is no allegations. This fool did what is considered to be one of the worst nightmares a parent can have, right? Prosecutors say sexually explicit messages were sent to students, and the complaint alleges a repeat late night contact. In one report, party allegedly offered to buy shoes for a teenager in exchange for a favor. So if you are just now joining us, prior to me hopping on at 4, I was sitting down with Homer Blow and I had a chance to take a look at the criminal complaint. And some of the things, all of the complaint was extremely triggering for me and disturbing. But some of the key things that stood out the most to me was the fact that, A, he continued to refer to himself as Unc to these students, right, to the youth, which is a problem. All of it is a problem. But the fact that he referred to himself as Unc in order to make them feel comfortable is so sick. And these are the things that we have seen throughout so many years when it comes to even some of our households, right? It's always someone close. And then his language, when he kept calling the kids lame, are you lame? You lame, right? That's like a manly way of flirting, but not for an adult male, for a child. It's similar to when a little boy at school likes a little girl and he hits her, right? And she's taking it like he don't like me, but really he's trying to explain that he does. So the language he was using with these children and the fact that he was able to contact them, or not even contact them, but just reach out to them so many times in the middle of the night, right? Imagine your child up playing video games all night, playing 2K. This is what middle school children do. This is what some adults do. And then here they have a staff member reaching out. And not only did he reach out, but he was recruiting. He was telling one of the youth to tell another youth to contact him. And once he asked him why, he said, don't tell him. And then it also states in the complaint that he basically knew what he was doing. He admitted to it. He tried to blame it on alcohol, but he still admitted to doing what he did, which means that consciously, whether he was drunk or not, it doesn't matter. You knew exactly what you were doing, right? And there is numerous of students that he was doing this to. And I am just grateful that one of the youth father actually stood up and said something, because a lot of times, you know, you'll have a lot of back and forth or miscommunication between the parents, and hopefully the other parents, you know, if they aren't in their children's business, hopefully they will take this as a lesson to be. I have two older children, and even in high school, I was always inside of their phones, text messages, photos, you know, social media, everything. I want to see who you're talking to, right? And whenever my children had coaches or someone or mentors or someone who was older, I had direct contact with them, right? Obviously, you know, they're going to talk to them to some degree, but there's never a situation where my child it has a relationship with an adult and I don't have some type of rapport with them, right? So parents, I don't care how old your child is, stay in their business. Stay in their business. Go through those phones, go through those social media accounts, all of the above. When it comes to the educators, right? And again, I could be wrong, but my issue is when you have predators like this lurking around, especially those who work inside of the school system, there has to be some type of behavior that someone has seen that was abnormal and chose to ignore it. Oh, whether it's them being over friendly, whether it's, you know, conversations or side remarks, whatever it is, right? And again, sometimes it's difficult if you don't know the signs, but that brings me to my next point. This has been happening so much inside of our school systems to the point where I am wondering if this is something that educators need to include inside of their professional development. I truly do, because when these cases arrives, right, obviously the police take it over, the investigators take it over. But what happens to the child? What happens to the other children who may have been affected because they're cool with the child or because they knew the staff member? And what happens to the environment of the school? What happens to the staff? Right. Obviously, there is conversations you have in meetings, but there needs to be something inside of professional development when it comes to the school system, to where staff members are alert and aware of inappropriate signs. And we're not talking about direct signs, right? We're talking about red flags first and foremost. And secondly, there needs to be something to where you know how to explain to a student that they don't have to be fearful to let you know when situations like this happen. And although it sounds, you know, crazy, again, as somebody who was a child that did experience this at 9 years old and 15 years old, as someone who has experienced this, I am telling you firsthand that it is frightening. You are terrified because you don't necessarily know how to say it. You don't even know if anybody is going to believe you, right? So it's difficult. You don't know mentally where the safe space is, right? And most importantly, a lot of times you're not in an environment where the door is open for you to. Think of the history when it comes to us Black people. How many of y'all have been or know someone who had an uncle that was doing these things inside of their household, and then the parents sweep it under the rug because they're so ashamed and embarrassed. They don't want to talk about it, right? They don't want anyone to look down on them or shame them for it. And I want to be honest, right? That wasn't the best thing to do. A lot of our grandparents, a lot of our parents, that's what they were taught. Don't say anything. You just, what goes on in this household stays inside of this household. Absolutely agree with that. However, what I agree with the most is there is no reason why your child should not be comfortable enough to come to you. This is not me blaming the parents. This is me saying, hey, parents, let's find a way to make these spaces and environments safe for our children to want to come to us in times like this. We have a caller on the line. Earl, are you there?
Yeah. You know, I got a question about that.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't that start when you first hire a person, that you look into them deeply, and when you start putting them around kids? Because it's becoming who he's, mm-hmm. or they just love predators for some reason, man. In this country. Man, this country is, man, they running it. So what are we going to do?
Absolutely.
We're going to sit here and just talk about it. But when it's higher than anything, when the rich white people are out here doing it, then it's trickling down to the people that's walking around with us every day.
Absolutely, Earl.
It's a shame.
It is.
It is a shame that it is so many women out here that these brothers can have as of age that you can deal with, then you'll be running around and fascinated by kids.
Yes, yes. And to your point, you are absolutely right. This is what me and Homer were just talking about when he was just on previously, right? So there is a vetting process, but the problem is not every predator has ever gotten caught. So there's
That's
predators
true.
Out here that has a clean record, but maybe they started, you know, doing these things inside of their household and it was never told, which is why I was saying us as educators inside the school system, we have to be more aware of the red flags. You can't tell me that he wasn't displaying signs inside of that school.
Oh, too friendly. And especially probably with the little girls, he was too friendly with them. And if they don't see that, then they're a part of the problem.
Yes.
Because you have to. Because if I was working there as security with him, I'd have told him, dude, I think you're getting a little bit too close to them. You know, you're supposed to be in a leadership role, not in this your friend. That's not your friend.
Absolutely. That part.
That's the girl you're supposed to be leading.
Thank you, Earl. And I tell my students that all the time. Even when they say, hey, Jazz, hold on. It's Miss Jazz, because I'm not your friend. I am not your friend. And that is
because if you start being their friend, they think you open to everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Carl, for tapping in with us. We got to go to break. We're going to push, put a pin in this for now, but do not touch that dial. We have Aziz coming up to talk about some of the things we have been doing with the youth throughout the summertime, some of the events that's coming up as well. And then at the 5:30 mark, I am going to give you guys some things to pay attention to when it comes to situations like this based off of my own experience. It's your girl Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. One on 1-7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct, and we got a special guest in the building, my good brother Aziz. What's the word? I'm good. I just seen Aziz yesterday.
Yeah, we was kicking it last night. Every time you start your show, I feel like you about to drop a bar right after that. Like, or feel like the beginning of like a, you know, a DJ drama,
yeah.
2012-13 mixtape.
That's my radio voice. Okay. That's how I learned. I was practicing. I was watching, you know, DD in the Morning and DJ Envy, and I'm like, they got a radio voice every time they come on. But welcome. Welcome. This your first time up here or no?
I've been on one time.
Okay.
With, I think, Brother Ken Hughes.
Got you.
Talking about some of the work we did with the county.
Ken Harris.
Yeah, thank you. Yep. I apologize. I think Mr. Hughes owns the dog shop inside of Third Street Market.
Got you.
He ran for office one time, so that's my bad. But yeah, Ken Harris.
Perfect. So look, we're going to keep it funky today, and we're going to talk about some amazing things as well. So off summer, we've been talking about giving Milwaukee young people something positive to do, right? And one of the big efforts behind that has been the Milwaukee Safe Summer Sites. The initiative was designed for young people ages 12 through 20 with free evening programming, including sports, DJs, dance, and mobile recording studios, games, mentoring, and other activities. And the broader effort brought together Milwaukee County, the city of Milwaukee, MPS, Safe and Sound, Empower, and 101.7 The Truth. It was backed by a $1.5 million in public and in-kind investment. So I want to start there. How did this come about? What was it like to be able to pull in so many different entities and get them to be aligned on one page, or not them, us, to be aligned on one page so that we can create a safe summer for the youth?
Yeah. Well, first off, I just want to thank the True family, and for everybody who's been involved with getting this platform to where it is. Shout out to Meech and just the whole family, Biko. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be here. I always start off any of these spaces acknowledging the people who came before us. And,
yes.
And so Dr. Jones was a best friend and a mentor of mine.
Yeah.
So anytime I get the opportunity to be in a radio station, you know, on the drive here this morning, you know, I think about them. And so
yeah.
I always like to call that out and acknowledge it. So with the Safe Summer Sites, and I also, you know, I'll mention a few other partners. Over the last year, Milwaukee Public Schools was really focused on trying to address gun violence.
Yeah.
Under the leadership of Dr. Caselius. And in that collaboration was the Milwaukee Urban League, Children's Wisconsin, the Milwaukee Healthcare Partnership. Because again, institutions and entities, they already collaborate,
yeah.
and they try to find common ground on key issues.
Yeah.
And I think we all are aligned on the issue of no child should ever have their future taken away from them at the hands of a gun.
Yep.
And so March of this year, we held an event called Past, Present, and Future.
Yeah.
And we had about 40 youth facilitate that, and it was a beautiful event where young people got feedback about ideas on how to make a safe summer happen.
Yeah.
And then followed by that, that same collaborative group came together and had a meeting at James Madison High School, and three youth groups presented ideas,
yeah.
and just things that they were experiencing and going through. And you know, in the Bible it talks about from the mouths of babes.
Yes.
It was really young people who triggered this work coming together and calling attention to adults and leaders at organizations to put their egos and own ideas to the side and center what young people were saying. And to the point that you brought up, what they talked about a lot was the fact that traditional programs, all of their hours end at like 6, maybe 7 p.m.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to go. You got to be with an adult to go to the mall. You got to be with an adult to go to the movies.
Yep.
You got to be with an adult to be able to go skating. And so that expression really became the platform for people to be able to come together and have the conversation. And I think, you know, I collaborate sometimes to a fault, and so I just think we were in the right place at the right time to get that started. So that's a little bit of background on it.
It's dope that you mentioned the youth are the ones who came up with the ideas, because a lot of times, and I was just saying this yesterday on the radio and to you, like, a lot of people don't listen to the youth.
Yeah.
Right? We want to create things for them and not include them inside of it. So to know that they were spearheading everything that has happened throughout this summer, I think is dope. I think what's also dope is, and I'm not going to say it's easy, and we're going to get into it, but like the collaboration piece, right? It's very difficult for people in Milwaukee to collaborate.
Yeah.
From what you mentioned, pride, ego, sometimes greed, you know, power, control, all of the above. But we've been able to, you know, pull it off. It was rocky a little bit because of, you know, miscommunication and things of that nature. But the beauty in it all is when you have people who understand that the babies come first.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. What was it like collaborating? What are some of the challenges and some of the perks of being able to say, hey, we got this amount of funding and we see these organizations that pretty much get overlooked a lot of the times, and we want to pull everybody together so that we can have literally a safe summer?
Yeah. So I think the big thing is always rooted in. So I'll say the first challenge with this was there was $0 tied to this in April.
Okay.
Nor was there any allocation. And like for something at this scale and magnitude, we should really be talking about it now for next summer.
Yeah.
And so we had such a short amount of time. And as all of us know, anytime you have to rush or move quickly, one, you got to move off like instant trust, which in Milwaukee we don't always have, and we're still trying to heal and manage some of the dynamics that come from our histories.
Yeah.
So I think time was like our biggest challenge, because I think with due time, when we do have the resources necessary and the talent, because we are a city full of talent, and we have the time to build with one another, we can honestly get anything done.
Yeah.
So I think this summer the biggest challenge was time. And then some of the bureaucracy that comes about with some of the dollars, because like you see the headline of a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
But like 50% of those dollars had to be front loaded. And so we had partners at the table who were willing to try to alleviate that. You know, again, shout out to the folks at Children's who were really adaptable.
Yeah.
You had the state who really was the fiscal supporter through the county, who was really open and willing for youth stipends, for food to be covered. Because a lot of times when federal dollars are tied into something, you can't pay for stuff like food.
Yeah.
Which, you know, just as
a
we can.
A lot of people don't know that.
And as we're talking on this platform, like to not address a social determinant of health, which is the language that they use in the midst of trying to improve overall communal outcomes.
Yeah.
And I understand that that can be a gray area for things to potentially go wrong.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like we're a state that uses our Department of Correction resources to produce milk on the backs of inmates.
Come on now.
So we should have the opportunity to use food as a convening tool for our communities. But it's like those kind of nuances and bureaucratic pieces that a lot of times create a lot of red tape.
Yeah.
So those are some of the backgrounds on difficulties. But I'll say like, collaborating with people like you and Vaughn on, you know, the lock-in model, being able to collaborate with people like Meech and have the truth come in to teach young people. Because, like, our young people are getting ate up and consumed by digital media before they ever get an opportunity to really learn about the power of airwaves and physical assets like newspapers.
Yep.
And so, you know, we all come in on the bridge. I kind of call us like the bridge era where I know how to go to a library and find a book, but I also know I can build anything using AI.
Yeah.
With some of our young people, we recognize that they are completely, that timing is lost on them. So I think being able to remove ourselves from having to be the center of the work and try to be a convener and facilitator and support others that are already strong at what they do and then backbone and support that.
Yep.
I think those were like, you know, some of the big wins that we have from a relational standpoint.
And it was a lot of work. People don't know, man. Like, I can't imagine your schedule. I know I'm at the school 7:30 to 3, the true 4 to 7. Then we at the Boys and Girls Club till 8 o'clock Meech. Then on some days at the lock-in after that. And it's no complaints because we love the work. But again, people don't understand the amount of dedication that goes into this. And because you were spearheading this, I can imagine how many people you have to work with, what your schedule was like, what your mental was like, you know, dealing with all of this. So how do you balance that?
Yeah. So for anybody that knows me, it's both it's triggered by my relationship to faith and my perspective and the walk that I have with God.
Yeah.
But it's also in reflection of the things that we're observing when it comes to food, Gary, Indiana. And so, like, for anybody that's ever looked at my Facebook, you know, I got water collectors on site. I'm getting deep into solar.
Yeah.
But my garden is, like, that safe haven. So, like, 4 or 5 times a week, I'm literally in the morning and in the evening, literally in the garden without my phone or playing gospel music in the background.
Yeah.
And I'm just spending that one-on-one time with where I feel like I hear God clearest, which is in nature. So, you know, I went to we got an opportunity to take about 40 youth to the Beulah homestead.
Shout out to Marcus Landry,
Man. And so, one, he runs his farm on biblical principles.
Yep.
But two, to have the opportunity to just get an observance around that.
Yeah.
But one of the things he taught me on the farm was that the Hebrew word rooted in carpenter is actually it is synonymous to the word farmer.
Yeah.
And so there are some scholars that look at the fact that based on all of the parables being rooted in sowing seeds, being so analogous to farming, that is actually what Jesus' potential occupation was. And so, you know, I feel like I hear God clearest when I'm in the garden. And so that's the one routine that, like, over the summertime I don't break because it literally doesn't produce if I don't put the work into it.
And we talked about that yesterday. We're going to talk about it after this break. We got to go to break to pay some bills. Meet your brother Z. Take us to commercial. 1017 The Truth.
Yeah. I've been trapping around the world. I sit on my balcony and wonder how you're feeling. I got a career that takes my time away from women. I cannot convince you that I love you for a living.
1017 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. We got my good brother Aziz in the building. Listen, before we went to break, we were talking about some of the, but the initiative and the work behind the Safe Summer sites and programs this summer. But I want to touch more into collaboration and, you know, full transparency all because, again, when you speak about collaborating, the first thing you said was very true. In Milwaukee, it's hard to collaborate because of pride, ego, but then also we're hurt. You know, we're people who we have been done wrong by people we love, people we work with, so on and so on. And we haven't healed enough to trust to say, you know what? Out the gate, yes, I'm willing to do it, right?
Yep.
So how do we maneuver through that as a people?
Yeah, so I'll just bring up one of the an opportunity to use an example between you and the station and us and the platform that we were running. So, like, when we had started coming up with this, I think it was at the same time that your show was kind of being conjured up. And
everybody,
you know,
was like, hey, my brother sent me a flyer. He said, hey, sis, is this you? Is that tap in? I was like, wait, what?
And so, and we had purchased the domain and we had kind of slowly been working on it. And what I find is even in the ecosystem of, like, our language and the fact that we use common trendy words and phrases as a city, it's going to be, there are going to be times where two different people, like, I remember in the era of, like, younger hip hop artists that I really like, YPN was just common.
Yeah.
Like, you had YPN Keith, YPN this, YPN that. It was just
like
right.
Young, Jeezy, Young. Yeah.
It was all, everybody applied it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that same thing with the tap in piece. And I know that in the beginning, there was, like, maybe healthy tension, only from the standpoint of, and especially yesterday when you and I got to just naturally, you know, God created a moment for us to have a pre-meeting yesterday.
Yes.
I was able to witness how much you value this platform to even get a deeper understanding walking away from that conversation of why it was a relevant conversation for you to talk about how do we align the brand. And so as we were starting to push and build, and you were already pushing and building, the one thing that we just found an opportunity to be able to do is say, you know, so, like, if you go to tapinmke.com right now, you're going to see the head banner, and then you're going to see a big picture of you.
Yeah.
And My thing is, like, I'm not ever, I want to boost
yeah.
everything everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, the challenges are so great.
Yeah.
It requires all hands on deck. And so what I find is a lot of times we just don't have enough conversations. And that's, again, this summer it was challenging.
Yeah.
And we weren't a perfect collaborator, yeah. not only in this context, but in other ways, because we had to move so fast.
Yeah.
But, you know, with working with specifically DCWS under Karen Tyler's leadership and DHHS.
Shout out to Karen.
Shout out to Karen. And with David Muhammad, you know.
Shout out to David, too.
Right. So a lot of times people don't always see them working together.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my hope is that over time we're able to all reconcile.
Yeah.
Any differences, because at the end of the day, we're trying to save lives
yeah.
and offer a space and an opportunity for us to be in a position to just be.
Yes.
Like, just like I feel like we're in an environment right now, especially working with young people this summer so intimately.
Yeah.
And I was sharing this with you yesterday, where I feel like when they come to us, we are able to bandage up the wounds that they're carrying,
mm-hmm.
but these are gunshot wounds.
Yes.
And we're sending them right back into those environments.
Yes.
And what's unfortunate is, like, home has become unsafe.
Yep.
Schools, as you're talking about today,
yep.
has become unsafe.
Come on.
And so, like, the institutions that of fatherhood,
yeah.
motherhood, sisterhood, brotherhood, these are historical institutions that have been our safe spaces.
Yeah.
It's, like, disintegrating. And now it's few of the many
yeah.
who are, like, the safe spaces like you, where young people can tap in. So I think we have to keep the greater mission at hand of yeah. what are we trying to work on?
Yes.
Do you want to be seen on Facebook?
Yep.
Do you want to be the face of everything?
Yeah.
You shouldn't really be able to be in the work.
Yeah.
You know, and that if that's the centerfold of the focus.
Yep.
So, you know, it's about collective accountability.
Absolutely.
And this is basic. What throws me off is, like, if you walk into the Black the Wisconsin Historical Society, the yeah. principles of Kwanzaa, we done already been in there.
Yeah.
Just read the words and learn them and yeah. try to live by that. Don't even complicate your life. Just do them seven.
Just do it, yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think, so my take in it is, and we was kind of talking about this off air, right? When we're collaborating, I think oftentimes, and it's no slight because I'm guilty of it too, initially, right? A lot of people that grew up here grew up in survival mode. So everything is based off comfort, which is initially a feeling. It's not logic, right? So you naturally want to collaborate with people that you're comfortable with, that you know already, because you can eliminate any distrust initially. The issue with that is sometimes those aren't the best people to collab with, or sometimes it's not going to impact the youth in the way that it should. So some of the steps that we were talking about was, first, self-accountability, right? Check yourself first. Like, are you being logical about the situation, or are you just in your feelings about it, right?
Yeah.
Then secondly is understanding that you have to think in a objective manner,
yeah.
right? That it's not about you. It's about the babies
yep.
at the end of the day. And when you respect, you know, I can always appreciate someone who does the work that I do, meaning similar work.
Yeah.
Anything that you do to try and create a better environment for the babies, you have to respect that work, right? And you're doing it without the need to, like you said, want to be seen all the time and stuff like that. That makes it easier to want to collab.
Absolutely.
That makes it easier to want to have conversations, right? And I sat there and I was like, dang, I seen this. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, like
yeah.
Meech and Biko. And I'm like, hey, hold on now. I'm like, nah. This is what we doing.
Yeah.
But the fact that we were able to have, and shout out to Biko, because Biko is real good at, you know, like, mediating. But when the respect is there, it's easier.
Yeah.
So the fact that we were able to have a conversation, be like, listen, we can include y'all in what we got going on. We can include y'all in what we have going on.
Yeah.
And then the outcome is so much greater than someone saying, I don't want to collaborate because of a misunderstanding.
Absolutely. I'll share another story, and I think it's relevant to this. It's relevant to Biko specifically as well. And I think it's so important, and I'm biased in this, but I wouldn't be in a righteous position not to communicate it.
Yeah.
You have to submit yourself to your creator.
Yes.
Now, how you define that,
yeah.
I won't push that in this space.
Yeah.
But the reason why I think it's so relevant is because you start to move in a direction where you recognize you're not the author of your story.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had no responsibility to the day you were born.
Yeah.
You have no responsibility to the day you won't be here anymore.
Absolutely.
The money that you receive, if you start to view it as such, it's not your money.
Yeah.
It's been entrusted to you.
Yeah.
And if you start to look at your responsibilities, the doors you got in, all of those things, you'll start to recognize this is all entrusted to you. And when you look at somebody else, if you look at yourself that way, you can start to view other people that way.
Yeah.
So as I mentioned, my mentor wasn't just my mentor. It was my best friend.
Yeah.
A decade of time together, 70 to 80% of time. I mean, in my most critical years of development in manhood.
Yeah.
So Biko calls me one day and says, and I've shared it with Biko too. He called me and he told me that he was going to be taking over the things that he was taking over.
Yeah.
The immediate fleshly sense that came up over me was jealousy and envy.
Yeah.
So much so within like a minute and 30 seconds of when he mentioned that, I needed to get off the phone.
Yeah.
And then I was just driving. And I'm like a picture color thinker.
Yeah.
I was driving down MLK. So I hit the statue and I called him back.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, bro, this is exactly how I feel when you told me that. But I had to remind myself.
Yeah.
You telling me that
had
nothing to do with your responsibility or you getting you through the door. This is everything to do with God choosing you in this moment.
Yeah.
And in the long run, he's the best person for this position.
Yes.
He's a cultural hub and institution and historian in himself. And this platform and the others in which he engages in and the leadership that he has with all of us as somebody who we trust and respect, even, you know, beyond any of dynamics, he's the right person for the job, and I'm super grateful to endorse and support anything he has going on. So, but I give that story in that context because we won't be able to collaborate if we're not mutually going to submit to the fact that we're not even in the room together because of our own merit or because we are the ones who put in the work. Yep. That's all grace.
Yeah, that's all grace. That's right. Look, come on now, Aziz. Talk that talk. We got to go back, run this back, and get some clips going. Before you get out of here, do you have any shouts out or one last thing that you want to tell the world?
Again, I want to shout out everybody that has something to do with Safe Summer, the truth, you, the family here. But I'll close with what I've been pushing this whole conversation, even with the situation with the case, the situation with the school.
Yeah.
It's a common denominator amongst all this.
Mm-hmm.
You are not the principal because of your own merit.
Yes.
That's an entrusted role.
Yep.
And if you view it as such, then you will treat his children, not yours, as such.
Yes.
Along with the case. Bro, you a security guard, no matter what your role is in life, it's an entrusted responsibility.
Yes.
And so I just think we need to start viewing where we are at, the responsibilities that we have, as things that have been given to us and entrusted in us, because then we'll treat it more sacredly, and that'll create a layer of protection that removes certain harms from our situations. And so we got to get back into that submissive space of trusting and then releasing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Aziz, for joining us. Next Friday, we're going to be at Moody Park.
Correct. So I'll just say that as a close, I was going to leave Shamar with some of the space because we in her hood next week.
Yeah.
And I'm super proud to be working with her. Next week is a whole week of peace.
Yeah.
So Tuesday is a day of reconciliation happening at the cage from 4 to 7,
okay,
which is with Andre Lee Ellis. And, and for anybody who knows, me and him fell out.
Yeah.
So this day is
real life.
It's a real day of reconciliation. Yeah. And I love the brother, and he's been a part of my childhood and upbringing in Milwaukee. So super grateful for that. Friday, Golden Child from Chicago is coming up. You'll be a part of that. We meet in that Moody Park, but we canvass in that whole area between Concordia and Locust and then 22nd to 27th. And just making sure that we can promote peace in areas where we see some of the greatest challenges with our youth. And then lastly, the family reunion is on that Sunday.
Absolutely.
On 9th and Burleigh.
Thank you so much, Aziz. We got to go to break. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth.